Xi prepares to meet Modi, Putin as SCO summit tests fragile regional partnerships. Xi Jinping, Vladimir Putin, and Narendra Modi will sit in the same room in Bishkek on Monday for the first time since a six-month U.S.-Israel war on Iran has fractured global energy markets, upended trade routes, and handed the Shanghai Cooperation Organization the most consequential geopolitical backdrop in its 25-year history. The timing is not coincidental. The SCO summit in Kyrgyzstan's capital opens as the United States and Iran resumed direct military exchanges overnight on August 31, with U.S. Central Command striking Iranian rocket launchers on Larak Island in the Strait of Hormuz and Iran, retaliating with drone and missile strikes on U.S. military bases in Jordan and the UAE. The UAE intercepted at least one drone approaching from Iran over its territorial waters and denied reports of a direct hit on its Al-Minhad airbase, though Iranian state media claimed the airbase was targeted. The Strait of Hormuz, through which a substantial share of global oil transits, is now an active theater of conflict. SCO member states, who collectively represent 43% of the world's population and approximately 23% of global economic output, are gathering to discuss exactly this kind of rupture in the Western-led order. William Yang, senior analyst for Northeast Asia at the International Crisis Group, told Al Jazeera that the ongoing wars are placing additional strain on the rules-based international order and that the summit gives rising great powers, particularly China and India, an opportunity to deepen engagement with global South partners. Alicia Garcia Herrero, chief economist for Asia-Pacific at Natixis, framed the gathering as the first practical test of last year's Tianjin strategy, which called for a multipolar world order built on mutually beneficial cooperation. Putting Modi, Putin, and Xi in the same room, with India-China border talks still live and a scheduled Modi-Putin bilateral, is a visible test of how far the recent thaw goes and how Eurasia wants to organize security, connectivity, and trade without defaulting to Western institutions, Garcia Herrero told Al Jazeera. For institutional capital, the meeting arrives at a moment when the rules governing energy transit, sanctions architecture, and Gulf security guarantees are all in simultaneous flux. The second order effects on trade finance, commodity pricing, and emerging market sovereign risk will be determined in part by what emerges from Bishkek this week. The Strait of Hormuz as the summit's uninvited agenda item, the SCO Secretariat listed the U.S.-Israel war on Iran, the Russia-Ukraine war, and the situation in Afghanistan as the primary agenda items. Events overnight rendered the first item far more urgent than any prepared briefing paper could anticipate. U.S. CENTCOM stated on Monday that its strike on Larak Island was a limited, precise action, targeting IRGC mine-laying forces, posing an imminent threat to commercial shipping. A U.S. official told Al Jazeera Arabic that the launchers were preparing to fire missiles carrying naval mines toward the waterway. President Donald Trump separately claimed on his Truth Social platform that Karg Island was being struck, though Iran had not confirmed those claims as of publication. Iran's position hardened immediately. IRGC spokesperson Sardar Mohibai, quoted by Fars News Agency, accused the U.S. of making a strategic and fatal mistake, with consequences in both the economic and military arenas. President Masoud Pezeshkian, attending the Bishkek summit himself, stated that Iran was not looking for war but would never sit still in the face of any aggression. The Iranian army launched dozens of drones at Al-Minhad Air Base in the UAE and struck U.S. bases in Jordan, which Iran's foreign ministry identified as the launch sites for the Larak attack. UAE presidential adviser Anwar Mohammed Gargesh condemned the escalation, stating that the policy of targeting the Arab Gulf states and Jordan has proven to be a failure, and calling for de-escalation alongside restoration of normal shipping through the Strait of Hormuz. Gulf allies Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE had previously urged Trump to hold off on new strikes, a posture Trump publicly adopted on August 1. Sunday night's exchange ended that pause. Institutional risk flag. The Strait of Hormuz is now an active military zone for the first time in the current conflict cycle. Any sustained disruption to transit would affect energy pricing globally and sovereign risk premiums across Gulf Cooperation Council credits. Modi-Xi Putin. The bilateral architecture beneath the multilateral theater, the summit's formal agenda, conceals a more consequential set of bilateral conversations. Garcia Herrero's framing is precise. Modi and Putin have a scheduled bilateral India-China border normalization. Talks remain active, and the warming of New Delhi-Beijing ties since the 2020 border skirmish is the most structurally significant geopolitical shift in the Indo-Pacific since that year. Modi visited China last year for the SCO summit in Tianjin, the first such visit since 2018. The rapprochement was accelerated in part by Trump's tariff action on Indian goods, which pushed New Delhi to recalibrate its positioning away from pure alignment with Washington's trade architecture. Alejandro Reyes, adjunct professor in the Department of Politics and Public Administration at the University of Hong Kong, described the SCO not as a coherent anti-US alliance, but as a venue for countries hedging against and hinging away from American power. Yang told Al Jazeera that China could use the summit to position itself as an advocate for peaceful conflict resolution, creating contrast with U.S. unilateralism, but cautioned that these efforts are likely to be limited to rhetoric rather than any substantive proposal for conflict resolution. Reyes added that current U.S. policies, particularly regarding Iran and ongoing tariff and sanctions actions, are making that hedging posture more attractive and necessary. What this signals for capital allocation: the India-China thaw is not a geopolitical abstraction. It has direct implications for cross-border supply chain reconstruction, infrastructure financing along Eurasian corridors, and the credit appetite of multilateral development institutions outside the World Bank and IMF system. SCO membership math: 43% of population, 23% of gross domestic product, and expanding the SCO began in 1996 as the Shanghai Five, a security mechanism among China, Russia, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Tajikistan formed to resolve post-Soviet border disputes. By 2001, it formalized as the SCO with Uzbekistan added. India and Pakistan joined in 2017. Iran and Belarus became full members in 2023 and 2024, respectively. The organization now carries 14 dialogue partners, including Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Egypt, Turkey, Myanmar, Sri Lanka, and Cambodia. Source: Al Jazeera reporting citing SCO data. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, and ASEAN Secretary General Cao Kim Aorn are attending alongside the core SCO leadership. Erdogan's presence underscores Turkey's positioning as a swing state between NATO membership and SCO dialogue partnership, a tension that has direct implications for defense procurement and energy transit contracts across the Black Sea and Eastern Mediterranean. Manoj Kuol Romani, chairperson of Bengaluru-based think tank Takshashila Institution's geostrategy program, was noted in the Al Jazeera report as a source on India-China dynamics, though his full comments were not available in the published source text. The Tianjin strategy meets its first real test. Garcia Herrero's analytical contribution at Bishkek is the one most worth tracking for institutional investors. She described the summit as the first opportunity to operationalize the Tianjin strategy from last year's gathering, which called for a multipolar world order and mutually beneficial international cooperation. Strategy documents are not capital flows. Operationalization requires financing mechanisms, trade settlement infrastructure outside SWIFT, and security agreements that bypass U.S.-dominated institutions. The India-Pakistan border tensions also remain unresolved and are listed as a summit agenda item. two SCO members with active nuclear programs, and a history of military confrontation sharing the same forum with China as a mediating power, is a configuration without a clean historical parallel in the post-Cold War security architecture. Plaquemium data note. The source material does not disclose specific trade figures, deal values, or financing commitments expected to emerge from the Bishkek summit. Any dollar figures circulating in commentary should be treated with caution until official communiques are published. The Plaquemium view the market is reading Bishkek as a diplomatic photo opportunity. That is the wrong frame. The convergence of three variables, each independently significant, creates a structural inflection point for Eurasian capital allocation. First, the Strait of Hormuz is now an active conflict zone for the first time in the current war cycle, not a threatened one. The overnight exchange between the U.S. and Iran on August 31 broke the August 1 ceasefire posture. Energy transit insurance, tanker rates, and Gulf sovereign credit spreads will reprice before this summit concludes. Second, the India-China border normalization process is far more advanced than Western financial media is pricing. A Modi government that visited Beijing last year and continues bilateral talks in Bishkek this week is a government that has made a strategic calculation about which economic bloc it prioritizes for infrastructure and manufacturing financing over the next decade. Third, Trump's sanctions escalation against Iran, including moves against third country banks, is accelerating the construction of parallel financial infrastructure across SCO member states. That infrastructure, once built, does not disappear when U.S. policy changes. The second-order trade for institutional capital is not crude oil, though that is the obvious first-order play. The second-order trade is in the financial architecture being built in the background. Yuan-denominated trade settlement, the expansion of SCO-aligned multilateral lending, and the sovereign debt issuance of economies that are explicitly repositioning away from dollar dependence. Investors who wait for a formal announcement from Bishkek will be late. The infrastructure decisions are being made in the bilaterals, not the plenary sessions. One additional observation: Iran's Pezeshkian is attending the summit while simultaneously managing a live military exchange with the United States. His presence in Bishkek serves a dual function. It signals to SCO partners that Tehran expects diplomatic cover and financing alternatives regardless of the military outcome. It also gives China and Russia a public platform to demonstrate solidarity without committing to direct military involvement, which neither has done. The SCO is not a Western-style alliance with binding security guarantees. Raise at Hong Kong University is correct that it is better understood as a hedging forum. But hedging forums become load-bearing structures when the primary system fails. The U.S.-led rules-based order is under its most severe simultaneous stress in the post-Cold War era. Bishkek 2026 may be the moment historians mark as the point when hedging became architecture. The bottom line: the Bishkek SCO summit is not a talking shop this year. It is a crisis management forum for economies representing 43% of global population and 23% of global output, meeting while the Strait of Hormuz is under active military contest and U.S. unilateral sanctions pressure is fragmenting the global financial system. The Modi-Xi bilateral will signal the trajectory of Asian supply chain realignment. The Iran question will determine whether SCO members begin constructing formal financial bypass mechanisms at scale. Institutional investors should position for Hormuz premium persistence in energy credits, accelerated de-dollarization infrastructure spending across SCO member states, and a structural widening of the valuation gap between Gulf sovereigns with hard U.S. security guarantees and those without. The summit ends Tuesday. The structural shifts it accelerates will take years to price correctly.